You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So that turned out to be false. The Ravens entered a season where they expected to be a Super Bowl team, though the coach at the time didn't want to hear about Super Bowl or bust. Alas, they were a colossal disappointment, and they're not even in the playoffs. They fired John Harbaugh. By the way, press conference on Tuesday, Steve Bisciotti speaking to the media for the first time since February of 2018. That's except for the one time he spoke to four guys. But he'll be speaking in the auditorium for the first time since the end of the 2017 season. Alas, a lot of work for Eric DaCosta this offseason. Is he up for it?
I mean, he better be. Yeah, I mean, every time you play that clip, it's just like the brazen audacity of these people. It really, I mean, did that sound like a guy who was trying to get better at every spot on the roster? Did that sound like a guy who was content? Hey, the media is saying we've got the best roster in the world, so I'm going to go watch safeties because we're just a safety away. And that's how they treated their offseason. And they were the biggest disappointment in the NFL. I think a lot has to change about their front office that goes well beyond firing a coach and hiring a new coach and new coordinators and all that. They need to rethink what their overarching philosophies are. What they feel like are the core tenets of roster construction. I mean, if I'm Steve Bisciotti, I want to interview Eric DaCosta as much as I want to interview all these potential head coaches. Like, so how are you getting out of this? Give me your top six positions in general. What do you think the six most positions are, important positions are in football? Why are they the six most important positions for the way we want to play defense? How do you think you've gone about addressing that? Do we need to rearrange that list? Like, I think they need to be challenged at every measure and, frankly, challenged by people who aren't in this building right now. I doubt that's going to happen. I severely do. I would love for Bisciotti to surprise me that way and also bring, you know, go about, ends up, we find out he's bringing Marty Herney in or somebody like that to be special assistant to the owner who's going to be in the building a couple days a week and can keep tabs on you know, what these guys are doing or not doing. I think they need to overhaul their scouting and some scouting philosophies. I think they absolutely need to overhaul their analytics department. I mean, those conversations, I mean, I get it. Right now, the priority is coaching staff, but it's an 8-month off season. It's a lot of time between now and the draft, decent amount of time between now and free agency. They need to be thinking in those regards. If the overarching things we glean from these people who are going to be on that dais on Tuesday is that it was coaching holding them back. If that's the inference, and there isn't,
it better not.
And
be.
There isn't. Well, I mean, if there isn't a real sense of contrition and I would say heartbreak over the role that player evaluations and roster construction have gone into this thing crumbling and becoming the mess that it is, then doesn't matter who this coach is, he's going to be up against it.
Eric DaCosta played a significant role in why this organization is where it's at over the past 12-plus months. And when we had Kyle Goon on, who columnist for the Baltimore Banner, he was talking, and I kept thinking parallels between Mike Elias and Eric DaCosta.
Absolutely.
And they're in a similar situation where it's not the same, and I understand it's different sports and different financials and all of that. But in terms of Mike fired Brandon Hyde, and now John Harbaugh is gone. And when we see this happen in sports, when you fire the coach, when you fire the manager, well, the GM's on notice. The GM is officially on the hot seat. And I think we were all very interested in seeing how Mike Elias was going to operate this offseason after a colossal failure that was the 2025 Orioles. Well, now, conversely, I'm really interested in seeing how Eric DaCosta is going to operate this offseason, because I think there has to be a significant shift in roster building philosophy. And look at the spending. Eric DaCosta came or was promoted to GM of the Ravens in 2019. Spending for Edge in each of those years: 31st in 2019, 13th in 2020. That was when Matt Judon was on the tag. 30th in 2021, 23rd in 2022, 26th in 2023, 29th in 2024, and this year they were 30th. There has to be a reconfiguration there. They were last in offensive line spending this year. Next year, I understand it's very early projections, they're 31st in O-line spending. They're dead last in edge spending. But they're first in spending at linebacker and seventh in linebacker this past year, seventh in safety. Corner, this year they were outside of the top 10 after they traded Jair Alexander. That was the first season they were outside of top 10 in spending a corner since 2017. There has to be a reconfiguration in the roster building. There has to be a reconfiguration in how you approach the offseason in terms of free agency. Hey, you're going to get the max of comp picks this upcoming offseason. You got the four. Do you need to get all four every single year? Can you go out and spend some money and have some splurges here and there? Can you trade up in the draft? You're drafting the highest you've drafted since Kyle Hamilton. If someone's slipping in the top 10, do you break mold? Do you break mold in maybe trying to go get a Max Crosby? I want to see Eric DaCosta in how he's going to operate differently this offseason, because the pressure's on.
Couple of things. Number one, I do wonder if they'll adjust with the comp thing, because I think there's going to be less and less.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Draftable players in each draft, because the mid-round guys might just stay in school to make the sure money than come in and be it. Like, I think we saw it a little bit last year. Like, there's going to be less draftable players, so the value in those rounds that these comp picks are getting you is not what it used to be. Also, you brought up Mike Elias, and we've talked about this before. When I hear Eric say that, it reminds me of the way the Orioles did business. Like, everything's going to be best case scenario, so we don't have to do anything to worry about anything, because Kyle Van Noy's going to do what he did a year ago, and this guy's going to do what a year
that's
ago.
That's a symptom of a deeper problem.
Why? It's complacency.
Well, it's complacency, and it's also, you truly think you're smarter than everybody else. There is an inherent arrogance. It is the idea that our way is so much smarter, and our quants and our computers, which are built by them, and our models tell us we're so much smarter. Eventually, the baseball gods and the football gods and luck will come together to prove us out. Like, that's the part of it that drives me. And in the real world, you're not that good. In the real world, people are spending a lot of their, what's left of their disposable income, on your product. In the real world, Lamar Jackson gets 1 year closer to retirement every year that he plays. Like, that's the, Gunnar Henderson gets 1 year closer to being a New York Yankee or a Chicago Cub or whatever. Every year that you piss away with your grand experiment, that really isn't about winning right now. It's about being smarter than everybody else, doing it your way. Oh, Howie Roseman wants to build the best D-line possible and keep going to the Super Bowl. That we'll show him. Nah, bro. You're not that smart. You're not that good. Your quants ain't that different than anybody else's. Your computer models aren't better than everybody else's. And now you're looking for a coach. And guess what? A year from now, you might be looking for a job.
It's funny you mentioned the quants and the analytics and all that. There was a time when the Ravens were ahead of everybody else on that stuff, and there were teams that weren't doing it. Now there are very few teams that aren't doing it. So they don't have the edge that say, Ozzie Newsome had 20 years ago. That doesn't exist.
A lot about this franchise doesn't feel like it did 20 years ago. You could do 4 hours on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're looking for a new head coach. They did interview Vance Joseph, and I'm not telling you Vance Joseph is getting this job, but I think they should interview as many people as possible, hear from as many voices as possible before you make your hire. So just don't get all excited about Vance Joseph getting the first interview. We have a busy show here on this Thursday.
Well, also, real quick, too, there are logistics and rules. I know we haven't had a coaching search around in forever. Guys who have been eliminated, guys who are out of the league, guys with less experience who are out of the league are always there's a pecking order to this. Wise man once told me, who's placed a lot of smart head coaches, including Andy Reid multiple times, the first guy or the last guy. And if it's an established guy, the last guy is often the one who gets the job. If you're even aware of that chronology. But again, people I'd love them to talk to, many of them, like the Jacksonville Jaguars D coordinator, you can't talk to them yet.
No. I have something hit me today with the Mike McDaniel firing. Jason, what about Sala as the head coach with McDaniel as his OC?
I don't want anything to do with Robert Sala. I don't think he's a head coach. I don't think he's particularly I don't think he's this defensive mastermind that people make him out to be. He don't pass my sniff test. Just go watch Hard Knocks. You tell me if you think he doesn't pass my sniff test.
Well, real quick with the McDaniel firing, could that signal Harbs to Miami?
They're not doing that if John Harbaugh is still employed. Now, if John Harbaugh, if Mike Tomlin is like, it would take something like this. Andy Reid retiring, Mike Tomlin getting fired, John Harbaugh getting fired. They let this guy talk to the media a few days ago. They let the whole industry know, come, we're going to pay you a lot of money to get Tua off our hands, and we're going to keep this jamoke around for another year, even though, we probably should have fired him in November.
Guest-wise on today's show, Benjamin Solak, I caught a lot of attention in this area. He was on a podcast talking about the Ravens roster construction. Obviously, we'll talk about the firing of John Harbaugh, but also the Ravens roster with him at 2:30. We'll talk Ravens NFL with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. He joins us at 3. Morgan Atz at Fox 45 Sports. Get her thoughts on the Harbaugh firing and what's next at 3:30. And Lucy Burge, best bets and nonsense from DraftKings at 4.
I wonder what Lucy Burge thinks about Bill and Jordan coming to Baltimore.
Stop.
I don't want any part of it. Can't imagine they would do that.
No.
That would be something.
No shot.
No. No.
That would be something.
Coming up next, though, it's time for some necessary roughness. This offense has some issues. How many? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.